Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We've seen a lot of them here in this ballpark. That one popped up into right. And that should do it. Nunez on the back pedal, and the Red Sox win this one. And they take another series. The final score here today for Alex Cora and the Sox, 9-1 over the Detroit Tigers. Chris Sale pinning down win number 11. Outstanding once again.
Boy, I bet that one made the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Hey, Marshall, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
9-1 win over the Detroit Tigers.
It was tight.
I mean, how do you replicate a good regular season win like that, huh?
It's good stuff.
617-779-0985. Red Sox win 2 out of 3 against the Tigers to open up the second half of the season. But honestly, I thought the games this weekend were a dog. They were a dog, all three of them. Red Sox 1-2, certainly. They got beaten there in the middle. They got shut out. They had trouble scoring runs in the first couple of games. The pivotal game in the series, if you really want to go back to it, was the one on Friday night. I mean, that was the only game that could have gone either way. The Red Sox pulled that one out. David Price gets a win in a 1-0 game. Is that reason for optimism? We'll get to that in just a bit. But again, to me, there are some bigger picture issues to discuss as it pertains to the Red Sox. Again, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of open lines. I want to start with Chris Sale. Okay, I want to start with Chris Sale, who pitched brilliantly again yesterday, is having an absolute July to remember. And really, it's even more than that. When you talk about the kind of run that Chris Sale is on here, you know, oddly enough, do you know the Red Sox have a better record when David Price pitches versus Chris Sale, Marshall?
Run support. Isn't it all about run support?
14-6 with Price on the mound, 13-8 when Sale pitches. Mm. Nonetheless, Sale has been sensational. I mean, absolutely terrific. If you go over this stretch of games that he's had of late, and this goes back now to beginning of June, in his last 8 starts, Chris Sale has a 0.83 ERA. The team is 6-2 in those games. Somehow they've lost 2 of them. He himself is 6-1, 87 strikeouts, 10 walks, all of that, which makes some people, I think, believe that Chris Sale is on some great path that he's never been on before. To which I would say, pump the brakes, to use Billy Lanny's term. Pump the brakes on Chris Sale. Nick Cafardo today in the Boston Globe. And Nick doesn't write the headlines, I know that, but the headline caught my attention. So far, so good on plan to keep Chris Sale fresh. That's what Cafardo wrote in today's Globe. And so, to me, people are now connecting things that shouldn't be connected. So if I were to tell you that at this point in the season, relative to last year, that the Red Sox have done a good job managing Sale, I would say that that's true. They have. A year ago at this time, Chris Sale had pitched 13 1/3 more innings, and that's after 21 starts, and he had thrown 183 more pitches. So the Red Sox have gotten him off the mound quicker, and he's been more efficient, or maybe the two are connected. Maybe the pitches just relate to the innings. Whatever it is, the equivalent of 2 starts. They have saved him the equivalent of 2 starts to this point in the year. That's pretty good. Now, I think they could have given him a bigger break here. At the All-Star break, they could have waited until tomorrow to pitch him. He didn't have to pitch Sunday. My guess is that Sale put some pressure on the Red Sox to get out there sooner rather than later. Nonetheless, overall, the Red Sox have done a pretty good job keeping Sale fresh. And that doesn't even include spring training. If you were to talk about spring training, you'd say they backed off him then, too. So they've done a good job, again, of keeping Sale fresher, of saving those bullets. And even Cafardo writes today in his column, did all of the work that pitching coach Dana Lavangi and Alex Cora did all of the work that they have done to preserve Sale's arm work? Has all of that paying dividends? And Cafardo writes, so far, you'd have to say yes. Okay, but he goes on to say it's something to monitor on a start-to-start basis. Okay, so I'm not trying to dump on Nick. But I would say to all of you, say, well, this plan's working great with Chris Sale. How do you know? How do you know until you get until the middle of August or into the middle of August? How do you have any clue? Last year in his final eight starts, Chris Sale was not good. I mean, to me, this really goes back until we get to that stage again. You can't make any judgments on how the Red Sox plan has worked in terms of preserving Sale for the months of September and October. We just don't know yet. And we're not going to know until he gets there again. Go ahead, Marshall.
The only thing I can say, if I'm going to try to, not that, you know, Nick Cafardo needs me to defend him, maybe what they mean is that they have been able to stick with their plan, that they have been able to limit the innings in individual starts, limit the number of pitches, you know, build a little more space in between starts. Because at least, you know, because you could look at it and say in the beginning of the year, we're going to try to do all this. We're going to try to, you know, get them out of games sooner and give them extra rest. But you never know if you get injured pitchers or whatever, that part of the plan may not even work. Like the ability to even get them out of games may not have worked. If they didn't have as big of a lead as they did, if they didn't have a reliable closer like they do, if they didn't have some degree of success with Eduardo Rodriguez before he went down and David Price, who has his stretches of pitching pretty well, then they wouldn't have the luxury of being able to take him out of games a little bit earlier or give him extra rest between. So maybe that's what they mean. Maybe they mean the part of the plan where this is what we're going to do and hope that it pays dividends at the end of the year. That has worked. If they're actually saying it's paying dividends, then you and I are in the same place that there's no way that you know, because until I say September, you have no idea whether or not it worked.
I mean, to me, it's all about the results, Marshall. It's about the results in September and October. So up to now, does it feel like they're doing the right things? Yes, it does. But again, I don't know if that's going to work. I want to get to something Alex Cora said, too. But first, let's open up the phones. 617-779-0985. Brian's in Providence. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, Tony, I couldn't agree more. I can't get excited about this team, unfortunately, until the playoffs get there. Because until a pitcher in the starting rotation goes past the fifth, I won't feel good about any of them, unfortunately. And
okay.
Chris Sale's history in September scares the hell out of me. And again, until he proves otherwise, it's great that they're winning. But wake me up in September because I can't get excited.
Okay, so Brian, look, I would even feel better if they were beating good teams. It's just hard to get too excited with a win over the Tigers or two out of three. But with regard to Sale in particular, look, what they've done to this stage with Sale has been pretty good. Again, 183 pitches fewer through 21 starts. That's the equivalent of two starts, really, or pretty close, right? I mean, you're talking 90-some-odd pitches there, 91.5. And 13 and a third fewer innings. I mean, if he goes 6.5 innings a start, that's 13 innings. 7 innings in one, 6 and a third in the other. That's the equivalent of two starts. They have taken a little of the mileage off. I think that that's a good thing. Now, the question is, could they have even done a little bit more? And then beyond that, what is going to be the payoff? Okay, what's going to be the payoff? Because September and October are all that matter. Now, if you want to get excited about Sale, you can. I'm not telling you not to, and I'm not even telling you to connect it to the team. You're saying, well, I can't get excited about anything until September. Well, that's not true. You should be excited about the fact that they win games. You should. You should be excited about the fact that Mookie Betts is the most dynamic player in the game this year. Absolutely. You should be excited about the fact that J.D. Martinez came to Boston as a free agent, and finally, someone the Red Sox threw a pile of money at is producing. Those are all good developments. Now, what do they mean in the big picture? That's a different discussion. But as it pertains to Sale, This idea that all of a sudden the payoff is going to be there, you don't know that yet. What if he's just one of these guys who gets to about 26 starts and then he's done? Or gets to 175, 180 innings and then he's done? Because there are plenty of guys like that. Clay Buchholz was like that. And I hate to tell you, he had a similar build to Chris Sale. So maybe it's just a wear and tear thing on the skinny guys. Buchholz couldn't really go over 175 innings. Maybe this guy can't either. How do we know? So I told you, Alex Cora was asked specifically about the plan for Sale here over the second half of the season. We're going to play what he said for you when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I said to you that after the game yesterday, Alex Cora was asked about Chris Sale and the Red Sox plan for Chris Sale in the second half and the way they've managed him so far and saving the bullets, all of this stuff. And to this point, it's hard not to be optimistic about where it's going. Again, through 21 starts last year, Sale had thrown 148 and a third innings. This year, 135. So they've saved him 13 and a third innings compared to a year ago. That might not sound like much, but that is two starts. Okay, that's two. One for every 10 starts, they save him one, is the way to look at it compared to a year ago. And pitches thrown last year over 2,300, 2,311 pitches thrown this year, 2,124. That is a difference of 183. Again, the equivalent of two starts. So now I think they could have squeezed out a couple of more days here. They could have pitched Sale tomorrow, the fifth game after the All-Star break. And that might have affected their rotations going forward. I honestly haven't looked that far ahead to the Yankee series, which is the first weekend in August, I believe. So it's not this weekend, it's next weekend. But Cora was asked about the program with Sale thus far and where it's going here for the balance of the second half. Here's what he said.
Most of his starts are going to be with one extra day. I think there's one actually with two extra days, depending on where we at and how he feels. And if he comes up to me and says, hey, man, I want to pitch in regular rest, well, we'll make the adjustment. But so far, so good.
Okay, so he says if he wants to pitch on regular rest, we'll make the adjustment. My question to Cora would be, why? Why? Why would you pitch it? If he wants to pitch on regular rest, say no. And I think that this is what happened coming out of the All-Star break. That Sale said, Sale pitched on Tuesday in the All-Star game, and then he pitched 5 days later. So Sale said, keep me on my regular routine. And they did. Now, again, I admit there are other elements that go into it. But if I were them, and Sale's going to get an extra day of rest for most of the starts in the second half, and then one of them, he might even get 6 days instead of five. And he comes up to Cora and says, hey, you know what? I actually want to pitch on the fifth day. If I'm Cora, I say, no, we're not trying to win with you in August. We're trying to win with you in October. We want you as fresh and strong as possible in October. And we're not going to take off a little here or a little there. We're not going to do that. So now look, the pitcher's comfort level, if that's what you want to call it, in terms of his routine, does count for something. But in the regular season, you're five games up in the division. It's going along pretty well right now, and you still don't know if it's going to work, by the way. Okay, you still don't know with Sale if it's going to work. Nonetheless, it's going along pretty well. And he's going to come up to you and all of a sudden say, well, let's change it a little. No. No, no, no. A couple of other things I want to get to from the weekend, too. And really, this is way more important than the stuff on the field. And we do have a couple open lines, 617-779-0985. Over the weekend, there was a trade involving another relief pitcher, this one from the Mets to the Oakland A's. And I always get this wrong. How do you pronounce this guy's name? Juries?
Juries familiar. Think about a going to a courtroom, juries. More than one jury. Okay. Juries familiar.
Juries familiar of the Mets went to the Oakland A's in a deal that doesn't feel like it was all that pricey. So Oakland gave up a couple of minor leaguers and $1 million in international signing money. Okay, and I can explain that to you in a second. But they basically gave up bonus money that you can use to sign international free agents and two minor leaguers. And according to Keith Law of ESPN, he calls them the North Marlins, meaning the Mets. The Mets get salary relief. They move Familia's contract and they get the bonus money. And two guys who might appear in the majors but don't project to have much value. Okay, and this gets back to my discussion about Dave Dombrowski, but bear with me for a second. Law continues. Bobby Wall is a right-handed reliever who throws hard up to 96 miles an hour, but he doesn't have much secondary stuff and he has below average command and control. So that's the reliever the Mets got for Familia. Law goes on. Will Toffey is a good defensive third baseman with below average hit and power tools. So I hear good defensive third baseman and I say, who cares? Below average hit and power? Like, to me, that doesn't mean the guy's much of, or that means the guy's not much of a player. Law writes, he's probably just an organizational player who might eke out some big league time from his glove. So this guy's a borderline big leaguer. Like a 4A player. That's what this guy sounds like. And the other guy doesn't sound like anything special either. Law continues. The international slot money the Mets are getting is probably the most valuable part of the return. And that is utterly embarrassing for a marquee franchise in the largest market in the sport. Okay, so Keith Law rips the Mets pretty hard. And a lot of other people are also criticizing the Mets for this deal with the A's. So two things stick out to me over this trade. Okay, first, and this is the obvious one, Oakland's a buyer, not a seller. So if you had designs on getting Jed Lowry to play second base or something of the like, forget it. Oakland's adding, they're not subtracting. The A's are basically in the last half season, in their last 83 games, they're 50-33. They're on pretty close to 100 win pace. The A's think they have a shot at the playoffs. So Jed Lowry's going nowhere. That's number one. Number two, and the far more pertinent and relevant point for the Red Sox and their fans and for Dave Dombrowski. There have now been three relievers traded that could have helped the Red Sox. Okay, three guys that I would call premium relievers. Guys who are, legit closers in Major League Baseball. Maybe they're not the best in the game, but they're closers. And a couple of them have postseason experience. Now, Familia scares the crap out of me. I'm not sure I would have gotten Familia, but the price was low. All they had, the Red Sox had to give up was $1 million in bonus money, but they can't. And you know why? Because they've drafted poorly and they need the bonus money to sign their own prospects or to go out on the market and get prospects they can sign. That's number one. If they haven't used it already and I haven't followed their bonus money all that closely, but you understand what I'm saying. The two ways you get young talent into the organization are through the draft and through international free agency. For example, Xander Bogaerts is from Aruba. He was not someone you could draft. When he was 16, he was eligible to be signed by any major league team. The Red Sox used the money and they signed him. And a few years back, Major League Baseball started putting restrictions on this sort of thing to prevent all the big money, big market teams, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Yankees, from going out and throwing piles of money at kids and preventing them the opportunity to go play somewhere else. And preventing those other organizations, really, from bringing in good young talent at affordable cost so as to improve competitive balance. Okay? So that's out. So the Red Sox now don't have that edge anymore. So they can't be going to give away their international bonus money, especially when they haven't drafted poorly or when they've drafted poorly. Okay? So all of that. They didn't get this guy either because they don't have money to spend. So they don't have the money to spend. They don't have the prospects to deal. And now they have lost out on Kelvin Herrera, who went from Kansas City to Washington, Brad Hand, who went from San Diego to Cleveland, and Familia, Jury's Familia, who went from the Mets to Oakland. How'd I do, Marshall? Good.
Well Jury's, done. Well done.
Jury's Familia. Now, there are still relievers out there. Everybody now is talking about Zach Britton. We'll touch on him and also David Price's performance from Friday night. Just how good or overrated was it? I'll give you a guess as to which one I think. We'll do that after Marshall gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And trouble for Price trying to get out of this mess. He could really use a K right here. Into left field, coming on Benintendi. He'll make the catch. The runner's going to hold a third. The throw is offline. It gets by. Price backs up. The runner goes back to third. Now the runner heading for from second into third base. Got him in a rundown. And he's going to be safe back in there with the runner holding a third, Goodrum. And Brock Holt comes up lame on a wild series there.
Oh, that was crazy.
Three balls, two strikes, one out. And a payoff pitch from David Price. He got him. He struck him out with a change. This inning has been a walk on the high wire for Price. Two down, bases loaded. Here's the 1-1 to Victor. Into right. J.D. Martinez backing up, and he makes the play on the run. They leave them loaded. Somehow, David Price got through that unscathed.
Welcome back to the Baseball Reporters. Again, 617-779-0985. You're on the way home from work. Love to hear from you. Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Tigers. That goes back to the Friday night game. David Price's performance. Red Sox won that game 1-0. And that was really the pivotal point of the game. Bottom of the fourth inning, Detroit has the bases loaded with nobody out. Bases loaded, nobody out. Short fly to left field. Benintendi, by the way, made a horrendous throw to the plate. Absolutely horrendous. And this was the best thing that Price did in the inning. He backed up the play and was in position, caught the ball on a hop off the backstop. The Tigers then screwed up the base running. The Red Sox should have gotten a double play on it, but Price held on to the ball too long. That was the play that Brock Holt hurt his knee on at second base. Okay, so I don't know how many of you saw the game. Marshall, did you see the game Friday night?
I listened to it on the radio.
Okay. And so it was kind of a crazy play. So Price's bad throw ultimately got Holt hurt, although I think Holt was supposed to be back in the lineup tonight. And I know, Marshall, I think you've been rattling off the lineup. Is Holt actually back in there?
Yes, yes. He is playing second base, batting 7th, 8th,
okay, so,
5th, 6th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so no substantive injury for Brock Holt as a result of the play. But in any case, the situation ended up the same. Bases loaded, now one out. Price gets James McCann to strike out on a 3-2 pitch. Okay, now McCann's no stud. In fact, I think his career batting average with the bases loaded is like 130. But nonetheless, Price got him on a strikeout, and then Victor Martinez had a liner to right that J.D. Martinez, that gold glover out there, ran back, made the catch, and Price escaped the inning. Price ends up going 6 1/3 scoreless. The Red Sox win the game. Marshall, does an inning like the one on the fourth inning Friday night?
Yeah.
Bases loaded, nobody out. Give you any more or less confidence in David Price?
I hate to sit right on the fence, but a little bit of both. Because on the one hand, obviously, he pitched to a really bad team enough to load the bases. But one of the things I think we look for pitchers, because listen, they're never going to pitch, you know, they're not going to go out there and pitch perfect games every time, right? So how do they do when they work out, you know, when they get in a jam, can they work their way out of it? And as messy as that was, I don't blame David Price for the Benintendi mix-up. Obviously, it was a Benintendi thing. But in the end, he got out of it, right? He got out of it. He dealt with the guys on the base. He dealt with defensive miscues and he got out of it. So I give him credit for that while also dinging him a little bit for putting himself in the mess to begin with.
Okay, so I think my question to you was, does that give you any more or less confidence?
Well, and I didn't answer that.
Hold on, and you said, no, you said a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Okay, my answer would be neither.
Okay.
Okay? That's sort of your classic glasses. You know, is the glass half full?
I'm getting both. You're getting neither.
Yeah. It's like someone asked me once, is the glass half empty or half full with you? I said, there's nothing in the glass. I mean, what the hell are you talking about? So in the case of Price, what I would tell you is, just because he can get out of a bases loaded, no out jam against the Tigers, does that mean he can do it against the Yankees or the Astros or somebody good? So great, he did it against Detroit on a Friday night in a 1-0 game. And maybe I'm saying the same thing as you are, but in a more negative fashion. It's an art, Marshall. What can I tell you? So like I do, I look at it and say, well, okay, great, he got out of it. Does that give me any reason to believe he's actually going to be able to do the same thing against a good team? Because I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. Now, again, for Price, of course, you'd rather win the game than lose it. And that game, that Friday night game, if you ask me, was the ultimate reason why you won 2 out of 3 and didn't lose 2 out of 3. Because the game on Saturday, you never had a sniff. You lost right out of the gate. That was it. It was over. And then the one yesterday was one-sided in the other direction. So you had Sale on the mound, and you had a big lead, and that was the end of that. They blew that open with a home run by Jackie Bradley, 6-0. They go on to win 9-1. So the game on Friday was the one game that could have gone either way. And, you know, Price was on the mound, and by default, you would look at a 1-0 game and say the starting pitcher gets credit. But against Detroit, when I already know that David Price can beat bad teams and can't beat good ones, I just have a hard time getting excited about that one, even if he did load the bases with nobody out. Tim's in a car. Tim, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. Hey, Marshall. How you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
All right. So would you rather have a 2-1 ball game that lasts 2 hours and 15 minutes, because the time of the games now are just getting ridiculous, or would you rather have a game 9-7 with multiple pitching changes and the game drags out to 3 hours long?
I'll take the 2-1 game. How about you?
I'll take the 2-1 game as well, but I think that's because we are fans of the game. But when you're trying to attract people who don't really watch it or anything, they want to run scored, but that in turn makes the games longer.
Yeah, so Tim, here's what I'll tell you, that in theory it makes the games longer, but I'm not sure that even that is true anymore. Because I see plenty of low-scoring games in which there aren't the drag on, too. And I think it is the mere fact that there are fewer balls in play. So if you didn't read Dan Shaughnessy over the weekend, you should read him. Okay, there's a story by Alex Speer quoting members of the Red Sox coaching staff. And I can't remember if it was Tim Hyers, the hitting coach, or Brian Bannister, the pitching coach. And I think it was Bannister, saying that now, that coaches now are basically data analysts. And that they've gotten to the point where the idea is to keep the ball out of play, because so many bad things can happen when the ball's in play.
Ugh.
Isn't that maddening, Jimmy?
That's disgusting.
So that, but the point is, it is.
Why don't we just play the game on a computer then?
It has ruined the spectator experience. It's completely ruined the spectator experience. Part of the fun of it was seeing a ball put in play and you didn't know what was going to happen. Now they don't even put a ball in play. They'd rather walk you, strike you out, or give up a homer. They don't want anybody fielding it. So that part of it, I don't know how you don't get frustrated with that. Like to me, and remember that years ago, Major League Baseball, I think, if I remember this right, has set a strikeout record in 10 straight years. Right? Didn't we have that stat last year, Jimmy?
That sounds right, yes.
I think for 10 straight seasons, Major League Baseball has set a strikeout record. This year will be 11. So the point is, more guys than ever are striking out every year. Every year. And the games are still long. When we were younger, they were putting the ball in play and the games were moving faster because pitchers work more quickly, and because even if they weren't necessarily hits, you were getting outs recorded more quickly. Something was happening. Not like now, where that story that Tom Verducci had not too long ago, that there's a ball put in play on average in Major League Baseball every 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So, Marshall, I want you to think about that for a second. 3 minutes and 45 seconds before a ball is put in play in any Major League Baseball game. Okay, that doesn't mean a hit.
No.
That means a ground out to shortstop. It takes you 3:45 to see a ground out to shortstop. Then it takes you another 3 minutes and 45 seconds to see a pop up to first base. Then it takes you another 3 minutes and 45 seconds to see a fly out to center field. All told, that's what? 11 minutes?
Or for three outs.
For three outs, and nothing happened. 11 minutes, nothing happened. Think of the equivalent in any other sport. In basketball, a guy takes a jumper, misses it, guy grabs the rebound, 3 minutes and 45 seconds will go by before they advance the ball up the floor and take another shot. 3 minutes and 45 seconds, or a football game. They hand off to the fullback. He dives behind the left guard. He picks up 2 yards. They get up, they go back in the huddle, and they stay there, Marshall, for 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes they would stay in the huddle. Hockey, I can't even give you a reasonable one because I don't think there is. Like what? The defenseman takes a slap shot. The goalie saves it, puts the puck behind the net. The defenseman collects it, and he waits 3.5 minutes before skating up the ice.
That's the New Jersey team that won the Stanley Cup.
But you get the idea. If those other sports tried anything like that, the games would fail. They would die. Nobody would watch them. But in baseball, they act like it's no problem. It really is absolutely, positively mind-boggling when you think of it in those terms. 3 minutes and 45 seconds before anything happens. And again, that doesn't mean a hit. It means a ball being put in play. 3 minutes and 45 seconds. That is a crazy amount of time. It moves way too slow and not enough is going on. I don't think that's even debatable. And if you want to tell me, look, I'm old-fashioned, I like the game. I know. Clearly. But you look at it and you say the games take longer than ever. And baseball preys on this. They know that they have you in July. From the middle of June, really, to the middle of August, baseball has a monopoly. Football camp will start up, but there were no real games yet. Not meaningful ones anyway. Not until that third preseason game. All of that. So baseball exploits it. They don't change because they don't have to. They can sit there for 3 hours and 45 minutes with their thumbs in their ears while you're drinking a beer and eating a hot dog because you don't give a crap either. You got nowhere to go. It's summertime. That part, that stat blew me away. 3 hours and 45 minutes. The baseball.